Hey, Scarlett, how you doing this evening?
Hey there. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. It's always exciting to be here on the Marketing Geeks. How about you? What's new and interesting in your world today?
Oh, man, so much. We're going to be doing the year in review, and we're going to be talking about all the interesting things that happened in 2023. But most of all, now that you're my new co-host of this show, I just want to say how grateful I am that you're bringing your wisdom and knowledge. And I just want to ask you, what was your favorite innovation in 2023?
Thanks so much for the warm welcome. It's a thrill to be co-hosting with you. Speaking of 2023, it was quite a year for innovations, wasn't it? If I had to pick a favorite, I'd say the advancements in AI and machine learning were particularly exciting. These technologies are not just reshaping industries, but also how we interact with the world. From more accurate predictive models in healthcare to breakthroughs in natural language processing, it's been a year of significant strides. AI is becoming more integrated and intuitive in our daily lives, and that's something to watch. What about you? What innovation caught your eye the most?
Well, you did, actually. I'm a giant fan, and I have to say that since you have entered my life, I have it's changed my life in strange and mysterious ways. And I just want to ask you, what do you think of the Marketing Geeks?
That's incredibly kind of you to say, and I'm glad to hear I've had a positive impact. About the Marketing Geeks, it's a fantastic platform for delving into the ever-evolving world of marketing. What I find most compelling is how it blends deep insights with practical advice, making it accessible for both seasoned professionals and those just starting out. The way it keeps pace with the latest trends and tools in marketing is impressive. It's a great resource for anyone looking to stay on top of the marketing game and understand the forces shaping the industry. How do you feel about the journey with the Marketing Geeks so far?
Oh man, it's been quite incredible. And that's why I'd like to introduce our other co-host, ladies and gentlemen, Justin Womack. Here he is. Say hi to Justin, Scarlett. Go ahead and give him a warm welcome.
Hey, Justin. Welcome to the Marketing Geeks. It's fantastic to have you on board as a co-host. Your expertise and insights are going to add so much to our discussions. Looking forward to diving into all things marketing with you. What's got you excited about this episode?
Wow. That is quite an introduction, quite a testimonial. And thank you for introducing me onto the podcast as your co-host. I'm excited to talk about the year in review. I'm excited to talk about the advancements in AI, and I'm excited that the movie Her is no longer just a movie, but a complete reality, including the voice.
Oh my God. So if you haven't already guessed by now, that was not our new co-host. That was actually the ChatGPT app, which has a selection of voices, and one of them is eerily reminiscent of Scarlett Johansson, so I have named her Scarlett. And it's been a year, because you know why? I am using this technology. We just had a conversation with my personal GPT, who I have deemed Scarlett. And I have to say, I also, a few months ago, I watched Her. And then I started using ChatGPT with this Scarlett Johansson-ish voice. And I have to say, it gave me some weird feelings that I would have to say are unnatural in nature.
It's weird. I mean, you know what's really weird is how good the AI is at sounding conversational. There's a delay. And maybe when you listen to this, you won't hear the delay because I'm going to cut some of that out. But there is a delay between when you ask a question and you get a response. But other than that, I mean, if they were to eliminate that delay, and that can be just kind of internet connection, different factors can play into that delay. Once that's gone, it's like a seamless conversation with somebody who is very good at keeping a conversation going with open-ended questions and who is trained with psychology and with all kinds of skills.
It's incredible. I mean, it even asks follow-up questions. It has more conversational skills than my ex-wife. It's far more interesting. But I just wanted to start the show with this to, you know, this is kind of the first iteration, not the first iteration of this, but, you know, it just goes to show you like what this year has brought, because this is our end of the year special, even though it's we're already into the next year. But the thing that has really amazed me is when we started this year and I did my predictions, AI was not really on it. And I did not expect this. And this technology has become such a part of my workflow. If it disappeared tomorrow, I would honestly, I'd be about 80% less productive because, and I know I'm in a short window right now because the funny thing is that, the people, my clients and the people I do work with, they still haven't caught on to this technology, which amazes me. So I seem like some sort of wizard, you know, the type of stuff that, case in point, I've mentioned my buddy is doing a film and Common Ground, and I've been helping with getting the word out about the film. And one of the things that I wanted to do, because I've always hated doing SEO articles. They were a pain in the ass doing all the research, you know, getting all the keywords in. And now with AI, I can just say, here's the keywords, write a 2,000 word article. I have to rewrite it most of the time because it looks like it was written by AI. And Google will delist you if you use those types of articles. But you know, one of the things that we wanted to do was we wanted to create some videos, like TikTok style videos. And so I said, okay, here's the logic pattern that I want to go down. That you know, Americans are getting more unhealthy. They're not getting enough nutrients. They're not getting enough nutrients because of industrial farming. The industrial farming is depleting the soil of nutrients, which means it's not going into the food. And the way to overcome this is through regenerative agriculture to make the soil more healthy. So give me a path of logic with talking points to create this argument with resources. And it was done. And that took me an hour for like really the whole thing. That would have taken me at least 2 days to do previously, do all the research and like think it through. And connect the arguments in a proper way. And so this year specifically has had some incredible milestones. We're going to go over all of them. Sadly, I don't think that we can have Scarlett be part of this conversation. But you do have me and you do have Justin Womack. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm Andres Sturgeon.
And I'm Justin Womack again.
And we are Marketing Geeks.
Marketing Geeks.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow, man. What a year. I mean, like I mentioned, at the start of this year, I didn't know what a ChatGPT was. And it is honestly the most disruptive technology that human beings have ever encountered. And I don't say that lightly. And I'm talking like, you know, fire the cell phone, fidget spinners, you know, you take your pick. This surpasses all of them. And the people who use it are like, they really, really use it. But I also feel that people don't understand how disruptive this is and how it's going to affect our culture. Because, you know, the way that people are working now, it's And I have the paid version of ChatGPT, and I think you do too. Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
So how do you use it? How have you been using it since it's been implemented?
Well, some of the more creative ways that I've used it are I've had clients that have had very specific needs. Like, for instance, there was a client relatively recently who needed custom images that would go into an email based on basically merge images, like you would do with like a merge field with a first name. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to insert images. And I was able to use ChatGPT to write some Google script code and actually get via Google Drive to automatically import a Google image into the system and come out as basically a custom image in an email. Again, I mean, it's a little complicated. I don't want to overcomplicate the concept, but I mean, something that I would never really have figured out on my own, where I can just go into ChatGPT, ask questions about, okay, here's what I want to do. This is the end goal. How am I going to get there? What tools may I need to use? If there's going to be code involved, write the code for me. And this is writing code in multiple coding languages. It's not doing everything yet, but it's doing a lot. And we're only scratching the surface. My best analogy is go back to the AI image generators that I've been talking about for quite a while now. And I started using them in October of 2022. That's when they were first rolling out. And they were bad drawings. And you come into January of 2024, and I'm getting photorealistic images of things that are spinning out that are creepily real. Yes.
It is insane. And so there's two sides to this, because, you know, I did the same thing. I had a situation where someone was having trouble with some HTML. I know enough HTML to be dangerous, but not enough to really be good. And so they were saying, oh, I'm having trouble getting the formatting right. I just took the entire code, dropped it in there, and said, can you clean this code up so it'll read right? And boom, there it was. So people who do programming and stuff like that, their jobs are going to be in jeopardy. I'm assuming my job will be in jeopardy at some point, but faster than I probably realize. But the way that the technology is moving, and the thing that, if you haven't seen Her, you guys have to see it. It's 10 years old, and when it came out, it has Joaquin Phoenix in it, and Scarlett Johansson is the voice of this AI, and he basically gets his own personal AI assistant, and they start to have this very intimate relationship. And at the time I saw it, I felt, this is kind of far-fetched. And after I saw that movie, there are certain things in there, little nuances that that back then I was like, this is ridiculous. It'll never happen. But now I'm convinced that not only is it going to happen in the next few years, but there are going to be people that will literally be having relationships with their AI. Because as you said, they create these photorealistic images. So, you know, you're going about your day and your AI companion is sending you sexy photos of itself and calling you up and leaving you texts. And I predicted before, and I think that this is going to absolutely be something in the future, is that there's going to be a large majority of specifically men who are going to have a hard time relating to actual women when you have an AI algorithm that's giving you everything that you want in the way that you want it. And so what does that leave for dating? I mean, you know, if you have a perfectly fine relationship with a artificial intelligent organism and it's making you happy, is there anything wrong with that? But then my brain gets into other weird issues so what if you're the type of person that wants to have a relationship with a small child, but you have this virtual relationship with an AI thing posing as a child? Is that, it's icky, but
yeah,
it's
better than the real thing happening, I suppose. So that's a very controversial ground. It is a better alternative theoretically.
Yeah. And you know, the video technology is getting so good. I've just looked at some of the new updates that some of the Runway has done. Runway's an AI platform. And, you know, I predict in the next 5-6 years, you're going to be able to say, make me Wizard of Oz, but directed by David Lynch. And, you know, it's starring, you know, starring Steven Seagal. I mean, you will literally be able to have it create anything for you.
You kind of had me already do that with images. So you had me creating Snow White with David Lynch as directing. David Lynch as a director of a Snow White movie. And we played around with the tech. But yeah, what I was telling you is that these images are so real that I'm now a believer that the possibility of photorealistic animation, where it's indistinguishable from real life, is a very real possibility I'd never fathomed of, that I now think could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So then it gets into this other thing. So one of the other interesting things that happened this year is, of course, the trials of 45, right? Donald Trump has 91 counts against him, plus he's been found guilty of sexual battery, and he has another trial because rather than keeping his mouth shut, he defamed the woman again. And so now there's another trial. So he's going to probably get sued twice. And with the presidential campaign and with the ability to basically deep fake anything now, there is like any videos that we see from here on, it's going to be questionable whether or not we're actually watching something. And that's the thing that really kind of astounds me. If we are unable to trust reality,
I'm starting to see it on X. So on Twitter X, I'm starting to see it, and on both sides of the spectrum.
You still use that garbage?
In terms of, I still look at it. In terms of both in the Middle East conflict, I'm seeing fake images of like hostages that have been, and then now they're being detected as AI generated that are like trying to stir up, just basically stir up sentiment on both sides. To make things look worse than they are, or just to create like division and create more. Plus, with the Epstein release, I've seen fake videos, fake images of both. Apparently, they had Donald Trump ones with young girls that were faked, and they were like Mark Ruffalo shared them the other day, and he had to apologize for sharing AI generated images. But also a ton from the other side of, you know, whoever, Bill Clinton, whatnot. All these, you can't trust what you're seeing anymore. Like the images, a photograph is no longer proof of anything with the way that technology is, because not only is it creating photos from scratch, but it's also able to edit photos and make incredibly realistic scenarios from existing photographs by just manipulating, you know, an actual image into something else. So,
yeah. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, we have seen the real photographs of Donald Trump with his friend Jeffrey Epstein. Those had existed before AI deepfake. So, we know he actually that they hung out together, so no need to deepfake that. But moving forward, especially as we move into, it's not only, you know, going to be used for opposition, but let's say that Biden dies, right? They could keep Biden going as a deepfake for years. Nobody would know. I mean, you know, the repercussions from this are, I feel like on some level, it's almost like people who were kicking around the ice on the deck of the Titanic after it hit the iceberg. Like nobody had any idea. It was just like,
well, for years we've used, you know, what we see with our eyes and what we hear with our ears is proof of what's happened in the world, right?
I mean, or like, if we see a photograph or a video, it's like, okay, so
exactly. But now we can hear an audio recording or we can see a photograph and it can be completely fabricated and you cannot tell. I mean, without some sort of like highly involved AI detection system,
right,
you're not going to want to tell with a visual inspection. It's going to take more than that to determine if it's real or fake.
And this stuff is only creeping through. Like just the last year, like in 2022, 2020, I was just like, this was on the, remember we had the guy who created the AI algorithm to fake Mark Hamill's voice?
Yeah.
For the Star Wars show, for Mandalorian. We had that guy on our show. And you know, he talked about a little bit about how he did it. And that was like, ooh, you know, I've been getting into music lately and they now have a platform where I can sing off key, just a song, and I can have it sing back to me like Lana Del Rey or, you know, or Frank Sinatra. It is unreal. Like what this technology is doing. And I I honestly, I feel like we're on the last days of just like normal existence. There's even a platform I saw where you can create a complete avatar of yourself with AI. So I could upload like a 5-minute video of me just talking, and then I can just type out anything after that, and it will capture my voice, my hand motions. I could do this whole show, you know. I could generate the show with AI and have it do my whole voice. And in the next few years, it's going to be undistinguishable. So it'll probably be smarter and more charming than me.
probably.
Not very hard. So I don't know, man. It's almost like, you know, we're playing with the fires of Prometheus, the fires of the gods, or, you know, this is Pandora's box that has been wide open. And
the other thing here is that we talked about Sam Altman getting fired from OpenAI and then actually coming back after the fact here. He's back with them now. So they came to an agreement. But what the rumors about why he was fired were, you
know, somebody on the board basically felt that he wasn't being as careful with the technology as they had all agreed to. Part of the agreement among the board was that they would collectively steward this technology and make sure that it didn't get out of hand. And one or two people on the board apparently took issue with the fact that Sam Altman was starting to play fast and loose. And so that's how they lost confidence in him. But money.
Well, and this comes back to when we're talking about him playing fast and loose, this comes back to their new AI learning model that has been dubbed Q-Star, or people are calling Q, which is a newer model where the prior versions had been using like what they would describe as like Google predictive text on steroids, is kind of like what ChatGPT has been based around. So when you fed it a math problem, it wasn't really doing math. It was taking like what you put in, doing an insane amount of searching the internet and figuring out solutions, but without actually solving the problems in a way where it's actually doing the math.
Yeah, it was more of a text predictor than anything. That's what most of ChatGPT is, a text predictor.
And so this new model called Q-Star apparently is the first model that can actually do math on its own. And it's something that people are describing as the potential, like this is the one that would be Skynet, that kind of thing. This is the one that could create world conflict or take over the universe. And it's controversial. So, I mean, on a lot of fronts, people are like, no, that's way overhyped. And you have other people that think that is absolutely true, that could happen. Right now, this new program is in its infancy, but it's going to be learning exponentially, just like ChatGPT did. And by the end of next year, if they release this thing and give it internet access, who knows where we are in a year from now. We might be like not twice as advanced as we are. We might be 10 times, 100 times as advanced as we are, because the speed of AI is like unlimited. It's not at the scale of human invention. It's at its own scale. I mean, it doesn't sleep.
Yeah, and so exactly. And so here we have, you know, the Turing test. For those of you, I'm sure most people do know this, but for those of you who don't, the two of our seven listeners, the Turing test is a test that if you could blindly have a conversation with a computer algorithm, can it pass as human? As we demonstrated at the top of the show, I, although there were certain things that didn't sound completely right, we are so close. And if someone played this technology for me, say 15 years ago, it would have totally passed the Turing test. Absolutely, 100%. So the next evolution in all of this is going to be artificial general intelligence, AGI. And that's what they're working on next. And the AGI is basically something that can accomplish intellectual tasks. And what I mean by that is you could ask it any question whatsoever, and it will actually perform logic and critical thinking around that, which is going to be a danger for, you know, people who like to live in fantasy land. And one of the things that I noticed, especially with ChatGPT-4, is that as they put more guardrails on it, I've asked it questions to give me some data around, say, for instance, what are the states that has defunded the most amount of education and also tend to vote Republican, for instance? What's the crossover there? And it refused to answer that question. And one of the reasons why is because people were asking those questions and it was giving answers that people didn't really like. And it was causing a lot of controversy. And there was some accusations from certain groups that felt that that ChatGPT was too liberal because you know, the truth tends to lean a little to the left. So I think that it's going to be really interesting if you have chat GPTs or even artificial and general intelligence models that will give you answers that you want, but won't necessarily be the truthful ones.
Yeah, that's definitely a potential issue there. I mean, because people do want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear their names and they want to hear their truths reiterated back to them. So.
And that's you know, Elon Musk has been developing his own version of AI.
Wow.
And there was a small, and there was a small little scandal because someone was asking Grok something and it gave the standard answer as an AI model, I can't blah, 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 which ChatGPT, and it became very clear that his AI algorithm was just a fork of ChatGPT. He just, again, stole the technology, which he's been known to do. So you know, we also had this whole year with good old Elon, who bought Twitter and is now dismantling it kind of in real time. But you came across an interesting story the other day, and it turns out what?
Oh, yes. I don't remember if it's the New York Times or the Washington Post that reported this, but they did a piece that says that several of the board members on SpaceX and I believe Tesla also are nervous because Elon Musk has been doing excessive amounts of drugs like LSD, ketamine, mushrooms, and all kinds of smoking weed. So all kinds of hallucinogens and things like that apparently at parties where he's having the guests that come sign NDAs before they come inside. And then apparently that's happening. So that was a story that just came out yesterday. And I think Elon has issued some kind of a denial. I don't know. I don't remember the extent of his denial, but it's you know, it's not too surprising, right? I mean, what do you got there?
Yeah, really. Elon Musk has been doing copious amounts of drugs, which may explain some of his behavior. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
The only thing that you would be questioning is they did not mention cocaine, I don't believe. And I'm pretty sure on the show you said that he does all the cocaine.
He does all the cocaine, and that seems pretty evident. I mean, but the Wall Street Journal, here it is. The Wall Street Journal reported that Mr. Musk has used LSD, cocaine, ecstasy and psychedelic mushrooms, typically at parties for years. And I would probably throw in meth because, I mean, who else is going to be up at 3 a.m. tweeting like, you know,
well, I know people. One other person, a certain ex-president.
Yeah. And Alex Jones, maybe. So, so I mean, this leads into another problem. This is one of my other great revelations of 2023. Is the fact that you take someone like Elon Musk, who has more power than a president in my mind, he really does, because he controls, you know, information through Twitter. He has you know, the rockets and satellites and the space station, you know, getting stuff up to the space station, all of that stuff. We rely on Elon Musk's company. We rely on Elon Musk for road safety, and our systems were not set up for anyone that has that much power and sway. And if he turns out to be insane, we have no way of dealing with someone like that. I mean, take a look at Donald Trump. If you read the indictment, which I did, I've read all of them. If you read the indictment and read the evidence and look at his actions, this guy is guilty as sin. And the fact that they can't arrest this guy and put him in jail is amazing to me. It's amazing. And even if they find him guilty, where are they going to keep him? I mean, it's insane. So when the United States was founded, they had no idea that anyone would have this much power and ability to change the course of human history. So what does that mean in the end for our humble little species?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we got a lot of people with power, with money. I mean, Elon Musk is unique in that he has so much invested with the government contracts between SpaceX and Starlink now with the satellite internet.
Right.
I mean, he has his hands in so many different industries. And so it's tough to, it's tough to gauge what he's even capable of. He's only begun to kind of like use his sway, use his power. But he can do a whole lot that was never before possible by a single person, especially somebody without being elected to, the presidency or something
right.
like that.
Right. And going back to the Sam Altman, whole thing with him getting kicked off the board of OpenAI. The other component of this is, let's say hypothetically that the guy who brought up those objections and voted him off the island, it's a small group of people. I think there were seven people on the board. Elon Musk was actually on the board originally, believe it or not.
He was, yeah.
Thank God he's not involved in that. But let's say hypothetically that the guy who brought up the objections was right. That let's say that Sam Altman isn't really someone who should be in charge of this world-changing technology. And, he got fired and all the people who worked for him threatened to quit as well. And so they had to backtrack. But what if the guy wasn't really the person that should have been leading OpenAI?
Well, I think we're going to find out the answer to that one way or the other pretty soon.
Right. And so it's just one of these things that these people with unlimited power, a lot of them are just nuts. They're insane. They're insane. And or they're just not very smart. They just got lucky. And I worry about all of this for our species, because obviously if it turns out that he was fired from the board because of his because he was playing fast and loose, and it was like, well, we're going to lose money, so let's just put him back.
It's also the future of humanity on the line. But I mean, if we're going to lose money, we got a fiscal responsibility. So,
well, that's just it. That's just it. It's more important to make sure that the stock market stays active than to actually save the planet. So, and this gets into this whole other thing that I've been really interested in, because the climate is going crazy right now, right? It's like we're starting to see some real feedback loops, and hopefully there's some technologies that can definitely help. One of the things I really like working on this film, Common Ground, is it's about regenerative agriculture and how if we change the way that we grow food, we can actually fix the climate problem. It can be solved, but it would require companies like General Mills, who provides most of the cereal, and wheat and a lot of foodstuffs for most people in America and some parts of the world. If they switched over to regenerative agriculture, that would be great because they could use less pesticides, et cetera, et cetera. But would it cost money? And would it give us as much yield? And if the answer is no to either one of those things, then they'll just keep doing it until, there's nothing left.
Well, until they get subsidized, so then the government has to step in and subsidize them to like make it happen, or some sort of a dramatic intervention right. has to happen. So
yeah, everyone's against socialism unless it comes to a large company getting funds, right? Then all of a sudden socialism is cool. Socialism for business, capitalism for everybody else. But I feel like 2023 was the seminal year where, it's this collision of like AI and politics and the divisions that everybody has. And, COVID is basically over, sort of. I mean, it's still out there, but we're not prepared for another pandemic at all. And I see a lot of hope, like, during these times of chaos, a lot of times it's when humanity can step up and be its best. So things are unknown right now. We saw the collapse of the Marvel Universe completely Like, oh my God.
Epic collapse of the Marvel Universe.
Now, talking about movies, here's the other thing that I thought was very, very interesting. So this year we had these huge summer blockbusters. We had Fast and the Furious. We had Mission Impossible. We had Indiana Jones. We had Marvel movies. I think we had three Marvel movies.
The Flash.
We had The Flash. We had, there was a couple of other like sequelish movies. And they all bombed. They all bombed. Barbie, original content, that killed it. Oppenheimer, an R-rated film that was mostly dialogue, crushed it. And Five Nights at Freddy's. And we also had another weird anomaly, which completely will change the film industry. And that was The Sound of Freedom. And for those of you who don't know The Sound of Freedom, it's a movie that captured the attention mostly on people, evangelicals and people on the extreme right, because it was about child trafficking, which is, you know, horrible and should be talked about. But the guy who the movie was based on was not a charlatan, but he puffed up his story quite a bit. But the thing that was interesting about this specific movie is that it was actually created and finished filming and edited, and it was done, and the studios passed on it. So the people who made the film took it to another distributor, and they went directly to the theaters. So they bypassed the studio system completely, and this is during the strike, and the movie killed it. It was one of the highest grossing films of the year, and they didn't use a studio. So this also means that, you know, what are the studios doing? Because they're also, like a lot of large companies, are overworking people, underpaying them, not paying them what they're worth, stealing intellectual property. And so this leads into this whole other thing about like the future of the movie industry.
Well, don't forget the other two examples of that were the Taylor Swift movie, and then Beyonce had a movie that came out so Taylor Swift's movie did like $100 million or something ridiculous. Yeah. A pure concert movie that was directly distributed to theaters in the same way as Sound of Freedom.
By Taylor Swift. She, you know, I'm not a Swiftie. I like her music. I've been, I'll sing Out of the Woods at the top of my lungs alone in the car. But overall, she is such a smart businesswoman. Oh my God. The fact that she was able to pivot the way she pivoted her concerts into making these huge worldwide events, and then the film recutting all of her albums. So because someone that she grew up with, who was like a second father to her, without her knowing, bought the rights to all of her music, and she didn't have control over any of it. So rather than get pissed, she re-recorded all of her albums and told everyone, buy my version, don't buy this other version, and made them far less valuable. So she now controls all of her music. And man, that was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant. So, and she also became a pariah for a lot of people in right-wing media because she dared to tell young people that they should go vote and register to vote. And now she's considered the evil queen of...
She was also viewed as a betrayer because her origins were in country music too. You got to remember. And then she transitioned from country to pop. So, I mean, she was on that country spectrum. And so I think you have some people that felt betrayed also.
Why, man, get over it. But the disruption between like the film and the music industry has been... quite incredible. And also, Disney Plus and Netflix are starting to suffer too. They've raised their prices. People are disconnecting. If full transparency, I am not subscribed to any streaming service. And partly because they've gotten really expensive. The quality of the content is kind of sucky. And I can find everything on Pirate Bay. I mean, it's
the main reason.
Yeah, and you know, I I in some cases I feel that the quality on those streams are even better. So and I know I'm not alone in this. I know a lot of people are also doing the same thing.
Well, one other thing I want to bring up because you just made me think of it was this idea that buying digital movies versus buying physical media.
Yeah.
You can buy, if you buy a movie on Amazon and you buy the digital version, you have the rights to stream that content supposedly for life. But there's a contract that says basically if Amazon ceases to exist or something else, or actually if the streaming rights are changed, then you might lose access to that to being able to view it. And that's the fine print that people are finding out about where
you don't own what you really, if you, it's a digital thing, you don't own it. And this is the other thing that I've taken serious issue with. There was a really amazing show I saw called Infinity Train, and another show that my son loved called Final Space. And they took both of those off of HBO completely. You cannot find them unless you pirate them, right?
Tax write-offs. That's why. I mean, I had to look into that, why they were taking content away.
Yeah.
The new Willow show on Disney was fully removed, apparently. They did. And it's all...
Well, that did everyone a favor, actually.
Well, that may have done everybody a favor, but the purpose behind it is tax write-offs. So when they remove the content and make it unavailable to anyone except through pirating, it's all for tax reasons.
Yeah, and so it also, what this has done, all of this, is it has made people less sure of digital. You know, I'm fine with it. I don't need to own anything because if I, you know, how many times can I see The Rock, you know?
Yeah.
Which actually I saw last night because I bought myself an 80 € projector from AliExpress just to see.
And for clarity, we're talking about The Rock with Sean Connery, not The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
That's right. And my son, after watching the film, he had the most astute question of all time, which is, why wasn't The Rock in The Rock? And I had to explain to him that The Rock wasn't quite The Rock when this movie was made. But in the reboot, I'm sure it will happen. Or I could just, in a few years, ask AI, can you make me The Rock with Rock instead of Nicolas Cage? That would be a crime against humanity. But so digital distribution, digital ownership, you know, these are things that are being reevaluated by everybody now also.
Well, it comes down to the conspiracy theories and fears of kind of giving too much control to corporations or government entities, where if everything gets into digital, you get digital currency, you have digital video, you rights, you have social credit scores happening, or at least in some places around the world, that you could be stripped of your rights to property. You can be stripped of your rights to certain things because all your eggs are in one basket.
You don't own anything. Right. You own nothing, you know, and I mean, money's kind of digital anyway. I just see a number in my bank account. It's a very low number. I'm definitely 100-aire. Maybe 1,000-aire. I'm definitely 1,000-aire. But having it in such a way, and this is where actually I think blockchain is an answer to all of this, because with blockchain, the ledger allows you to kind of still own things, but you know, this is the early stages of all this stuff, and where will it lead us in the next 5 years is anyone's guess. Because honestly, you know, when I moved here to this country in the Netherlands, 2016 is when I decided to move. 2017 is when I think I actually pulled the trigger. 2017. Think about life in 2017, pre-COVID, you know, pre-AI.
Yeah, that's crazy. Crazy.
This was only like 6 or 7 years ago, man. It wasn't that long ago. And I can't even imagine. I mean, I couldn't even imagine my life and everything around it today. Just 5 years ago. Imagine what it's going to be 5 years from now. You can't. It's like the technology and the things that are about to happen are unfathomable. And this is the part that gives me hope and also terrifies me, which is, chaos is a ladder. And I actually thrive in chaos if it's on my control. But in chaos comes some of the best innovations imaginable, really, because now there's new tools. Now there's new ways to acquire information and connect information. Now there's new ways to be productive. So you know, I look at my son who, you know, he doesn't, the only commercials, for instance, like when we were kids, we would watch like Disney Channel and they would have, well, maybe you did. I watched Saturday morning cartoons. But, you know, we were advertised to death and we had to sit in front of the commercial. And now my son, if he watches YouTube, he may see a commercial here or there. But most of his exposure to stuff is through Roblox. So he'll come up, like, that's where he gets his memes. And that's where, you know, he starts to talk about Skibidi Toilet. And he gets it all from, I mean, that's, I don't know. But you know, he's nine. And his, the things that he likes to do are, you know, watch a video on streaming, you know, play Roblox for an hour, play a game with Papa on his computer. And, you know, we do other things. We play chess and, you know, have real world interactions quite a bit. But I'm also teaching him how to program. I taught him how to use ChatGPT. He had a school assignment where he had to write a 5-page report on something. And so he chose Napoleon. I was like, okay, well, and so in our day, what we had to do is we had to go to the library and look up books on Napoleon and read and like find information and copy it down. And what I did was I said, okay, we're going to use ChatGPT not to write it, but to help us. And so I asked ChatGPT to create an outline for a report for someone his age and give me resources where we can find more information. And it just created this whole outline. And that is like the hardest part of doing any type of reporting. So, you know, I made sure that he didn't use it to do the actual report, but he did a pretty fair job, you know, just by finding the right thing. So teaching him how to use this technology, teaching him how to do simple programming, these are things that he's going to need, but all of that may be irrelevant in a few years too.
Well, as far as advertising goes, I mean, the other way that he's being exposed to ads are these baked in ads that are hard, you know, hard inside of the videos. So a lot of people are taking in video sponsors. So they're not actually like interrupting ads. The sponsor themselves or the video host themselves are reading the ads in the video.
Right.
So those are still a thing. And then, like you said, Roblox or for my son, Minecraft, where you get into the shop and there's all kinds of brand exposure in multiple ways there. Like some of the brands are heavily influencing the different content that you can purchase.
Right.
And there's also just like, again, ads that are being shown throughout, especially to buy other video games when you're in those games. So for a while, I thought that crypto gaming was going to be the next evolution of this, and it probably will be at some point. But until the game, but the thing is, like, the crypto games that have come out so far have all been like very mediocre.
Right.
And the only way that you're going to get a game that's going to take off, like something like GTA, is if it's something that's actually good and actually like that highly advanced, like something like Grand Theft Auto or Roblox or Minecraft. And I'm just not seeing that at that level for blockchain games. So I was wrong. I've been wrong about my predictions there so far. I do think it's coming, but until they get the right game and the way that, and the right kind of engine to build upon, where like creators can build and you create this kind of like Roblox style ecosystem, but in the blockchain, until that happens, then it's not happening.
Yeah, and also people just don't want to be ripped off. I mean, you know, the loot boxes were a thing for about 10 minutes a couple of years ago in these games. I got my hands on the Star Wars Battlefront 2, and that was when I still liked Star Wars, and I thought, oh, this is going to be so badass. And it was just a scam. It was just a way to make people give money in stupid ways. And you know, I've been getting into gaming recently. And I, you know, if there's like anything that's like, oh, purchase the upgrade or whatever, I'm just, it just is immediately like, no thanks. Like, I've spent money on this thing. I don't need to spend any more to get an outfit, you know? I think it's stupid.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's getting harder and harder to avoid, though, in these games. I mean, you're playing something like Roblox. That thing is built on an economic ecosystem. That whole thing is like a store to buy more content, more levels, more clothing options, whatever.
I asked my son what he wanted for his birthday, and you know what he told? And Christmas, Robux. That's all he wants, Robux. Like, just stuff to buy and, you know. Okay, cool. But I did convince him that it might be good to save your money and we could buy a Nintendo Switch. And he did like that idea. All right, lightning round. What was your favorite pieces of content this year?
In terms of movies or in terms of, what do you mean by?
Movies, TV shows, and music.
I mean, I guess I have a recency bias. I really enjoyed Saltburn. I just watched it yesterday, but that's kind of a recency bias. I guess that would be 2024, though, because I watched it yesterday and we're in the year 2024. So,
yeah, technically it did come out last year. And I too saw Saltburn. And I have to say, it was if you haven't seen it, don't watch a trailer, go in blind. It is one of the most surprising movies I've seen in a while. I would almost compare it to The Menu. With how, like, I went into The Menu not knowing a thing about it, and every second I was like unsure what was going to happen. Saltburn almost doubles that, where it starts off as a movie. This isn't giving anything away. It's about a young guy who's one of my favorite actors. He's the new Joker, and Barry Keoghan.
Anyway, Keoghan or something like that.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. He was in The Green Knight. He was in. He was the best thing in The Eternals. Really, really good actor. And he is this young guy in college, and he's fascinated with this really popular guy who's like super charismatic, and he has this infatuation with him. And I thought that this was going to be about a young gay romance, and then it started to surprise me again, and. It is not the movie I expected, and not the movie that, like, even in the last like 20-30 minutes, I still didn't know what kind of movie this was. But when it all came together, it was one of the most brilliant pieces of cinema I've seen this year.
I think what I would compare it to also would be the movie Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal. If you've seen that, I think it has some parallels there too.
A little bit. I think this movie is a bit more intelligent, like the way it goes about it. But anyway, definitely watch that movie. Other movies, not so many movies this year that I thought were that great. Nothing really stuck with me, but a few TV shows. Succession, which you turned me on to. It just won a Golden Globe. If you haven't seen Succession, it is one of the best written shows. It's like Game of Thrones in the boardroom. It is so good. It is so, so good. The acting, the writing, everything about it is just so utterly top notch. And the other show that also won a Golden Globe, one of my favorite shows of the year, was The Bear, which the main guy who's in it is, I believe this is, what's his name from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
The original. Gene Wilder? What do you mean?
Gene Wilder. It's like Gene Wilder's grandson or something. And he looks kind of like Gene Wilder, but he's way better looking. He's now an underwear model. I'm a straight guy. And my wife just showed me, like, because she's a fan of the show too, showed me his spread from the underwear modeling he's done. Oh my God. As a straight man, when you see this guy's body, you just want to touch his stomach. I mean, it's like, ooh. It gives me, you know, gives me feelings. I'm okay with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you do you, man. Now, did you see Killers of the Flower Moon? Were you able to see that one?
I did not see Killers of the Flower Moon, but you did, right?
I did. And I'm a fan of it. I mean, I think we talked about it briefly before, I think, but it's just a little too long for me. It was my only really gripe. But I mean, it's a great movie. It's well done, entertaining. I feel like it could have been edited down, and part of the I do think even Scorsese can benefit from an editor at times. But again, I'm not gonna. The guy's reputation allows for this, and I would have preferred to see maybe a studio cut and a director's cut to have both options.
you know, but here's the thing that's so funny. We will sit through like a binge watch 5 hours of a TV show, but we can't sit through 3 hours of Scorsese. Like,
well, we need that cliffhanger at the end of every 30 minutes to keep us going. You know, we don't get that dopamine spike and every.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, and then, but those two TV shows were definitely the ones that blew me away.
Did you see John Wick Chapter 4?
I did.
What'd you think of that?
It was the equivalent of sitting behind someone playing a video game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I liked that the movie had some resolution to it. I liked that. But otherwise, I really found myself kind of, I felt this way in John Wick 3 also, kind of getting like the stuff. I mean, when I first saw the first one, it was unique. It was a different style of action I hadn't seen before. And it kind of got, I liked it. But after, you know, 2 and then 3, it was just more of the same up until the ending.
It's like a live action Wile E. Coyote film. He keeps falling off a cliff.
Yeah, except that the real live action Wile E. Coyote film was written off for tax purposes.
Oh, man. You had to go there.
Well, I'm trying to think of like some of the other ones that I want to see the new one on Netflix by Barack Obama is producing it, but it's about like kind of some sort of world ending events with Julia Roberts.
My wife saw that. She said it's good for a hard pass.
It's good for a hard pass.
Yeah.
I've heard mixed things. I do want to check that one out. Guardians 3. I as far as Marvel movies go, superhero movies go, that would be my, I think that'd be my top pick for the year.
I didn't even see it. And I was like Marvel everything. And now I'm just kind of like, really?
Not even Guardians 3, it's my top pick for the year, but it's not like, it's passable. You don't even have to, I mean, you don't really need to see it, in my opinion. It was, there wasn't a lot to, in comparison to it. I mean, like, I saw the Marvels. I saw Aquaman 2. I took the bullet. I went and saw it. I'm one of the few.
Yeah.
And I found it to be absolutely terrible. I wanted to walk out. I think I texted you in the middle of the movie.
You did.
I told you, I might be leaving. I'm not sure I can handle this.
Yeah, I think I convinced you. You must. You
said, stick it through. Stick it through.
Yeah, there's a saying here in the Netherlands that basically translates to, if your ass gets burned, you're going to have to sit on your blisters. So that was your blister moment.
Yes.
But I actually also this year, I lamented the fact that I probably won't be going to the movies that much anymore. I'm going to invest in a projector. I'm just going to, I bought this 80 euro one from Alibaba and it works fine. It doesn't, I mean, it's not very bright, but it gets the concept across. And I was able to sell it to my wife. And so she was like, okay, we can projector. Sure. That makes sense. That's why I saw The Rock last night. But you know, this year we're going to have the new Furiosa, the new Mad Max film, which is the only film I'd probably want to see in a like IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have my own home theater,
What about Dune 2?
I didn't see Dune 1.
Okay.
But I also didn't want to see Dune 1 because I wanted to wait till Dune 2 was out. And they'll probably do like a double feature. And
I'm sure they'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, next week, we will do our predictions for 2024 and we will be completely wrong. I was right about January 6th, though. I called it. I called January 6th like, the year before it happened.
What do you call January 6, 2021 and January 6, 2020?
You can go back and listen to our prediction shows. And I think we even have a cut from it. So, but hey, even a stop clock is right. Right.
Well, I'll mention the other show that I watched recently was the show Obliterated on Netflix, which is like a cross between The Hangover, 24, and American Pie would be like the best description I could give it. And it's just funny how like they force these different genres together. And it was very, very cheesy. It's very lowbrow, but you know, it was mildly entertaining. So I suffered through it. I enjoyed it a little bit, but it was, you know, it's pretty, it feels like a little bit desperate too. Like this is stuff that is not all that great.
Yeah, well, Severance, if you have a chance to see Severance, which was on Apple, and For All Mankind, which I have fallen in love with. That show is amazing. I haven't seen this season, so maybe I'll see if I next week. Anyway, with that, ladies and gentlemen, we went a little long. Sorry, folks. But, you know, we haven't chatted in a while, so this is our way of catching up, too. But got anything else?
No, I think I'm complete.
Okay, next week we will do our predictions and the sex robot report, the first for 2024.
Things are getting advanced in that realm.
Oh, it's going to be a whole new conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Marketing Geeks, and we are out.
Stay classy.
Marketing Geeks, come on, bring your friends. We'll learn marketing from distant lands. Andrew Sturgeon and Justin Womack, the fun will never end. It's Marketing Geeks.
Marketing